I'm a shot in the dark, wary sort of spark. I'm a light that's too bright for me to see.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, here we go. Episode 173. I'm in my new secret bunker where the sound is buttery. In a bunker besides the old bunker, beside the old bunker, under the center of the new evangelization, hidden somewhere in the Rockies, not unlike NORAD. Okay, so this weekend, chatty first segment, Monday edition equals weekend recap, Friday. Oh, man. Okay, so I have roommates, and I crave solitude sometimes, right? I'm a people person. I'm an ENFP. We will burn ourselves out on people if people are around, so we require immense amounts of solitude. Solitude can be hard to come by without driving around in your car if you have a bunch of roommates. And I have a bunch of roommates. Well, three roommates. And the stars aligned. Roommates were all gone. Same weekend. Friday night. Alone time. I was so excited. So into it. I got myself some food. I made myself a nice little dinner. I grilled. I was on it. I mean, I was on it. This is great. And then I get an invite from my little cousin, Summer. Shout out to my little cousin, Summer, to go to game night. Now, anybody who knows me knows that I can't stand games. Ken Kramer, if you're listening, shout out to you and your stupid-ass board games that you're always making me play. Games are the death of a good conversation, which is what should accompany drinking is conversation. But now, I know what you're thinking. You've heard me talk about playing Rummy with my family. Rummy is exception to the rule. Card games in general are the exception to the rule, but mostly Rummy. And I'm down for a good poker game now and again, but that's a different animal. Little Texas Hold'em, not very often, kind of sometimes. But you know what? Those games like Pictionary or, you know, anything where you're like doing silly things. I hate games like that. But it was my little cousin. And I love my little cousin. I love both my little cousins. And so I went to the game night. And they were playing one of those games, one of those silly games. And there were cats. And I'm semi-allergic to cats, even though I grew up with them. So this is what I do for my family. I abandoned my much longed-for solitude to come. Now, I did refuse to play the stupid game. And I ended up sitting out front talking to one of my cousins, telling her funny stories about the older people in our family. But it was good. I got to see my little cousin Summer, my little cousin Star, which I haven't got to see in a while. Some of the only family that I got to, I get to see pretty often. Hey, speaking of family, man, shout out to my little cousin Tyler from the same side of the family who texted me this morning or texted me a picture of a glass of red wine and a copy of That Hideous Strength or This Hideous Strength, the third part of the Space Trilogy by C.S. Lewis. And he says, Lewis and red wine in Florence, you trained me well. Dude is in Florence, Italy. I'm like, dude, you're living, what are you doing? I'm like, you're living my bucket list here, man. You're hanging out reading Lewis, drinking a glass of red wine in Florence. Yeah, I guess he just went on a walkabout. He went to Germany, spent a week in Munich. He's down in Italy. I'm like, dude, well done. You know, he's young. He's probably staying in hostels and stuff like that. I'm too old for that kind of thing. But anyway, so shout out to my little cousin Tyler at the off chance that he's got Wi-Fi and pulled down the Podbean, the podcast of this episode. Shout out to you, Tyler. So Friday night, I did kill part of my solitude night, a game night. But I like to think that was pretty virtuous. I'm pretty awesome. I'm hoping to get some time off of purgatory for that. It was so good seeing my little cousins. And so, man, I don't know what it was, but I slept in. Good night's sleep. And Saturday, I was just off. And I had some work that I had to do Saturday that I ended up not getting done. because I had to write up a proposal. I'm doing a contract negotiation, renegotiating money, that whole thing. And every time I do that, it just puts me in a funk and I end up looking for something to kind of distract me from that. And man, I think I'm going to talk about this later a little bit, why I think that is. I want, there's some of that part of this show that is letting reality smack me around and then telling you about it. Part of this show is going to happen later. And, but that's anyway, so I just fell in the old habits of thought and just like, oh, this is a bad Saturday. I'm going to leave it at that. Stuff that I thought was behind me. And there I am rolling in it all day Saturday. Managed to pull myself out of the funk Saturday night. Perry West came home. I thought he was gone all weekend, but it was going to rain. So they came home from their camping trip. Ended up just kind of hanging out a little bit, just watching some TV. Other roommate came home. So I missed my shot. I missed my shot at solitude, which I'm excited though, because I have a little bit of solitude coming up that I can't really talk about because it might be a surprise. But I got some solitude coming up and I'm excited about it. So I'll tell you about that after it happens, because then it won't be a surprise anymore. Sunday was a good time. Sunday, I went to a special liturgy over at the seminary for Holy, instead of having church at Holy Protection of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church, which I'm seemingly becoming a parishioner at. But no promises, Father Michael O'Loughlin, if you're listening. But I'm seemingly kind of starting to see myself as Byzantine. It seems like I'm reading enough Byzantine theology. My mentor that I have acquired is Byzantine. And so I don't know. And I'm growing my hair out, which is a pretty Byzantine thing to do, but I started that before the Byzantine turn. So anyway, yeah. But the reason we were having this big liturgy over at the seminary, which is a few blocks away, it's a bigger chapel, is because there was two ordinations. So Subdeacon Ryan was ordained a deacon, and now he's Father Deacon Basil Ryan, which this blew my mind. In the Byzantine tradition, all the major orders are considered some form of spiritual father. So you call them fathers. So he's not a priest yet, but he's a father. He's Father Deacon. And you can change your name, though not everyone does. He didn't have a very, you know, Eastern Christian name, and so he went to Basil from Ryan, which Ryan, a fine Irish name. I would argue with him on that. Not Eastern Christian, but Christian nonetheless. So he became Basil. So shout out to Father Deacon Basil, who's formerly Subdeacon Ryan. I already went through this like name change with Ryan Wolford. Like, I used to call him Ryan, then he was Brother Ryan, and then he switched to the Dominicans and he became Brother Reginald, which starts with the same letter as his old name. So I keep saying, hey, what's up, Brother Reginald? I mean, come on. So shout out to Brother Reginald, Brother Rigi, Brother Reggie out there, who's going to be ordained a priest this fall, finally. And I'm going to St. Louis to see that. So yeah, the whole name change thing, when you hang out with religious, that can get kind of interesting. So, but the other thing that I'm excited about is Joel Barstad, the seminary, the academic dean of the Roman seminary here, is becoming a Byzantine priest. He's on his way to the presbyterate, which is kind of funny, because until he wasn't actually going to seminary, but he hadn't been ordained into the subdiaconate yet. So his official canonical title was seminarian. So it's funny. He was a seminarian who's the dean of a seminary. This guy's already got like PhDs and stuff. It's like, they're going to go, you know, he's not exactly a seminarian, but that was his theological, so now he's Subdeacon Joel. And, And so, yeah, so that was fun. I got big old Bishop Gerald, and I love Bishop Gerald, who is the bishop, or the, he was, he just retired, and he's the temp for now. He's acting bishop of, what is the Eparchy of Phoenix in the West, I think it's called. He's such a nice little old, little grandfather of a man. I was really excited about this. He's like a little wise Yoda. You know, he was small. He's kind of short, but he's, he just looks like everybody's favorite grandpa. I mean, I really like Bishop Gerald. First time I've ever met him. I'm a fan of Bishop Gerald. So there you go. So that's what I did. Little lunch, you know, in the refectory afterwards. And, there you go. And then I worked. Then all that work that I said I didn't get done on Saturday, I spent all this time crunching numbers and self-doubt and strategizing and praying and asking myself what I want in this world and how to get there and do all the above all Sunday afternoon, trying to get something ready to present this week in, stupid contract negotiations. I hate this part of life. I hate negotiating money. I hate talking about money. Anybody who knows me knows I want to have a lot of money. The reason I want to have a lot of money is the only way that I could not think about money. I am too broke to be poor. If I could get a lot of money, I could get out of debt, and then I'd have the option of being poor. Right now, I'm too broke to be poor. So that's why I want to make a lot of money. So you should all go buy tons of advertising on Breadbox Media so that I can be poor. All right, let's head off to the break. And when we get back, I want to switch gears to something a little more somber and talk about this Orlando situation. You're listening to The Counterposition. I am your host, Andrew Whaley.
Let my sacred word to mutter. Ran too fast and turned to butter. I'm a bit too much for me to chew.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Let me skip across the pond. I'm an ocean on and on. I'm a fish with no bowl that I outgrew. Lift my blood. Only one on track.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, so I want to talk about this Orlando shooting. I can't not talk about it, right? There was one of the biggest tragedies, massacres in American history over the weekend. So Sunday after I managed to stay off of media a little bit, and it wasn't until after church and all that I got down here about 2-3 o'clock to I just wanted to use the whiteboard to think out some ideas on this whole contract thing, and and I opened up my computer, and I guess in one of the browsers was open up to a news page, when I opened my computer up, it refreshed itself, and I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? I guess everybody else had already been talking about it for a while. And so, you know, we may spend a good chunk of this episode on this, and I hate to give evil a lot of press, but nobody evil probably listens to my show anyway. So, wouldn't matter, would it? I don't know what I was trying to say. No, I'm saying that if I gave evil some press, the evil would never find out about it because they wouldn't listen to the show. That's what I meant to say. So, okay. So what I've noticed is that when tragedy hits, okay, first of all, I've seen people putting stuff up on Facebook, and assuming the kind of news clippings and stuff, one of them I know really solid because it's a really close friend of mine. This wasn't the greatest massacre in the history of America. Okay. There were at least one occasion in which 250 people had their houses burned down and were shot as they ran out solely because they were black. And it happened in East St. Louis, if I'm not mistaken. So 250 black people were killed for the crime of being black at one point, something they didn't choose, that does not have any moral consequence whatsoever, just solely because someone didn't like who their grandparents were and what their color of their skin looked like. Remember that. Speaking of that exact same reason to mask or someone, there are at least one at Wounded Knee, but several massacres perpetrated on Native Americans in the earlier part of this country that make this look like a fender bender. Okay. I don't mean to be crass, and I don't have a problem. This has nothing to do with who was killed. I'm just saying that there have been, this was not the great, but it doesn't change the fact that this is an insane tragedy, and it is an absolute tragedy and a massacre of horrible proportions. That being said, whenever you have, this is just like the perfect version of this massacre / tragedy to cause people to just lose their minds, use super bad logic, and just retreat into whatever their pet agenda or cause is. And we're just seeing it from the right and the left all over the place. So let me boil down to you what happened. And this may piss some people off on the left and on the right. A human being created in God's image and called to bear out his image and likeness by slowly being taken up into the divine, being a partaker of the divine nature and becoming a manifested son of the living God, chose to rebel against that calling and treated persons, which are the beings whose only, the only proper stance towards which is love, and chose not to love, and chose to reduce persons to his perceived view of their culpability for their lifestyle, and to take judgment into his own hands and hurt other human persons and take the precious gift of life away from them. Okay. Anything else above that is details. You know, to quote John Paul II, anytime man destroys man, man loses. Now, that being said, the reason this was the perfect storm for everyone to lose their mind is the people that were killed were largely gay, or some version of queer, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, genderqueer, something like that, right? I've forgotten how many LGBTQI, it's like they just keep adding to this alphabet soup of distinctions. But because these people were from the gay community, it was during Pride Fest or whatever, and it was at a club advertised as the hottest gay club in Orlando. This man that did this evil, whose name I won't say, was a Muslim. Now, when I say a Muslim, I don't mean he had brown skin and he had a funny name, as one of my friends put on Facebook. We're not talking about that. And I'm not going to make any kind of argument about whether or not his brand of Islam is the real Islam and whether Islam is inherently violent. I think that I will say that when you look at the history of Islam, go read Benedict XVI's Regensburg address again. That caused such a outrage when he said it, but there's something way more deep than just whether or not there has been a history of violence in this religion. But regardless, let's just punt on that issue. Let's say that all Muslims who do violence are bad Muslims, and that Islam is a religion of peace, and this guy is a heretic and all true Muslims condemn what he did. Fine. I have no axe to grind there, at least not today. Now, there's another issue. He used guns to do this. In fact, he used an AR-15 was one of the guns he used. So now we get the mass shooter guns cause mass shootings thing, right? And everyone is just losing their mind, and everyone is backing into their own little positions. And I am seeing more false dichotomies and false conclusions than I've ever seen about a news story. It is amazing. So the chief one was somehow people, especially before it came out that he claimed allegiance to ISIS, wanted to hit on the fact that this was an act of homophobia, an act of transphobia, whatever. And that it didn't matter who did it. And the reason they want to say that, the reason they want to make it about that is because for some weird reason, the left and the modern quote unquote progressives have gone out of their way to be weirdly open and supportive of Islam in general. Now I remember working in a coffee house. There's this young hippie girl who was like all socially conscious and all, you know, hairy armpits and dreadlocks up in a beehive. Beautiful girl, by the way, you know, but it was doing that whole incredibly natural, you know, hippie girl thing. It was all about social justice. And she wrote a paper that she was telling me about for her college class she was taking about genital mutilation. I had never heard about this, didn't know anything about it. So way back then, way, way, way a long time ago, she was already talking about Afghanistan and the Taliban. She was talking about all this stuff and about genital mutilation. For some reason, now people on the left will just jump through hoops to try to find something to blame other than a weaponized, radicalized, weird take on, like I said, I'm going to punt an otherwise peaceful religion. And I have friends that are Muslims that are really peaceful, amazing, wonderful, intelligent human beings. I mean, whether I think that what they're doing is orthodox Islam or not, I mean, it doesn't matter. The point is that there are people who believe in Islam in one way or another that are really amazing human beings, right? So I mean, I saw this was absolutely perfectly shown in a cartoon that was going around on the internet where they had this guy talking to a woman who was wearing like a feminist t-shirt, and he said, "I think that women are inferior to men, that you're basically property, that you should just stay in the kitchen and never be allowed to drive and do what you're told and blah, blah, blah." Says all this really horrible stuff, right? And she starts screaming, you patriarchal bigot oppressor. She says all this feminist rhetoric, and he says, "No, I'm Muslim." And she goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I didn't know. Please, you don't think I'm Islamophobic, do you?" It's like there's all these positions that for some reason, because it's not in the Christian West, the fact that they're not Christians and they're an organized religion somehow makes the left like them because they consider them not Christians. So they must have been oppressed by us or so. I don't know. I literally don't understand the logic of it. And I've asked a couple of my liberal friends on the back channel, "Hey, what is this?" And they're like, "Look, dude, I don't get it either, but it is what it is." You know, no one seems to understand it, but so there you go. So it was homophobia. It was not religiously motivated. And us saying that is being bigoted because he has brown skin and a weird name. that's craziness to me. But let's go to the break and we'll have more craziness when we get back. You're listening to The Counter Position.
Lin how we crave a hanging in his dark.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
People singing, please don't stay, but please don't go.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, so we're talking about the Orlando shooting. talking about some false dichotomies. We're talking about weird conclusions and everyone going to their ideological corner, and how this one had guns and Islam and gay and lesbian people and all this stuff. It's just perfect storm of ideology. So everyone is just losing their minds and losing all reason. Okay, so the first idiotic thing that we talked about was that the weird reaction to defend that it can't be about Islam from the left, when someone whose religion in its kind of like fundamentalist form or even a radicalized weaponized form condemns homosexuality for some reason, because they just can't help bring themselves to sound like they have like some kind of white privilege or whatever, because he's brown and he has a strange name. We can't condemn him for that, because that sounds too much like racism. That just sounds crazy to me. Okay. Second thing is, here was a horrible person who did horrible things to some people because of what they were doing and how they lived their life. And they were victims, and they were victims, no doubt. I agree 100%. These people did nothing but go out to dance and hang out and get into some trouble, have some fun, right? I disagree with their kind of fun. I disagree with what their lifestyle, but they went out to a club. They did not go home. That is a tragedy, and they are victims, right? But now it's saying, well, therefore, what they were doing was okay, and to disagree with it is hate, because this person perpetrated an act of hate against them, and victims can't be blamed in any way, which I'm not saying we should blame them, but because the definition of blame means, remember, we've redefined everything. Blame means saying that they were anything other than perfect angels doing everything right. And hate means disagreeing with someone. So I want to have a little sidebar here for a second. You know, if you go back, I'd have to go find the clip. I said months ago, and I've said it for years, we keep using this word hate. So if anyone is listening from the gay and lesbian, GLTBQ, I don't know, I've lost track. Whatever in that community, if any of you are listening, I've said on several occasions that we need to be careful how we throw that word hate around, even if we spell it H8, right? We got to be careful how we throw these words around, because God willing, God forbid, we might need them at some point. I hope we don't. I said that several times. I hope we don't ever need them. I hope you who think that I hate you because I disagree with you, I hope you never have to experience real hate. I really do. I'm not wishing that on anyone. But that being said, this happened. So I would just like to point out that someone coming in and physically hurting you or killing you for the sake of who you are without knowing you personally. And see, there's hate. Okay. That's hate. You saw hate this weekend. That's what actual hate looks like, among other things. It's also brainwashing. It's also desperation. It's also the brokenness of fallen man. It's a million things, but that was hate. That was real, honest to goodness hate. And it doesn't have to rise to that level to be hate, but me disagreeing with you. Now, so when I say, look, man, I think that I don't know what causes homosexuality. I don't know. I think it's environmental in some. It seems like there's people that I've known that were just kind of bent that way from the earliest age. But I'm going to say, both from the level of natural law and from the level of revealed understanding of what this is all about, I can't condone that activity. Man, sucks. That's a heavy cross to have to bear. But I mean, I'm not going to get on board and say we have to redefine the rules. That's hatred. They call that hate. I disagree with you. I don't think that what you're doing is a great idea. And to disagree with anyone and refuse to affirm them as being good in doing whatever they want to do is now called hate, right? So now just think about that. Me having a different intellectual opinion, even based on natural law and philosophy, Aristotle, Plato, up this my experience of life, me having a disagreement where I'm like, look, I just don't think this behavior is the way things work and it's just not a good idea. And someone blowing themselves up. Now, and you're going to use the same word for those two things. Now, this is, you know, I could go on a big tangent about the redefining of the word hate, the redefining of the word tolerance. There has to be a disagreement. You can't tolerate everybody but the intolerant, because your definition of people who are not intolerant are people who agree with you that everything's okay and everyone needs to be affirmed, right? So there you go. I just wanted to point out that you saw what actual hate looks like this weekend. This was an act of hatred, and it was a hateful, evil act. But that's what hate is. Disagreeing with you is not hate, okay? Just for the record. So the second that I wanted to bring up here was that just because these people were victims, then everything that they were doing or that they were victimized for or because of must be okay because bad guys hated it, therefore it must be good. No. Look at this. Look at Poland. Look at Poland in the Second World War. Stalinists killed Nazis. Nazis killed Stalinists. Someone can do something to someone else, and they're both. That doesn't mean one of them's a good guy and one of them's a bad guy. Now, I'm certainly not comparing these people that were victims in this club to Stalinists or Nazis. I'm not saying that. I'm just using that as an absurd example of. Both people on the side of you can it's like Dexter, right? He's a serial killer that kills other serial killers, right? So just because you were doing something and someone else killed you because of it doesn't mean that activity is good and okay and needs to be celebrated and defended now because you're a victim. So that's overwhelmingly, I'm seeing that all over the internet. Now, once again, as I said in the beginning, these were persons full of infinite dignity, made in the image and likeness of God, and called to be partakers of the divine nature and to completely be manifested sons of the living God. These were all beloved sons and daughters of God. Okay? And we're all broken. We're all in a fallen nature. We're all a little bit nuts because we don't believe. And we're all sinning and falling short of the glory of God. Every one of us did. So I'm going to say this like twice a segment so that someone doesn't pull this out of context and say that, oh, I was saying that they deserve what they got. They did not deserve what they got. That's some kind of unmerciful Old Testament BS, if you want to claim that, for the record, a guy that spoke at that guy's mosque did claim that the people should be killed out of compassion. And his own father, this guy's father, who evidently is like some kind of revolutionary kind of like media leader or something. He said that we shouldn't kill homosexuals because it's up to God to punish them and kill them. But they certainly do deserve to die. So it's like, it's... So this was not like some kind of random, just unideologically inspired act. So there's the first. So that was the first part. It was ideological. Now let's go to the flip side. A Muslim did this. So this is representative of all Islam, and everyone who's Muslim believes in this and is bad. Not true. Not true whatsoever. From the right wing, I've been picking on the left at this time. From the right, I'm seeing all these people going, see, this is the religion of peace. This is Islam. This is what it's all about. I know all kinds of people who are Muslim that are good, normal, nice people who, there have been whole parts of this world where from the beginning, Muslims and Christians and Jews have lived side by side and shopped with each other and got along, right? It doesn't have to be this way. This is a modern weaponized version of Islam. Now, I'm not saying it's without precedent, and this could bring back up the question of whether or not this is quote-unquote original Islam. But no, Muslims are not bad people per se because they're Muslim. This is not representative of everybody who's a Muslim. Muslims are already stepping up and condemning this right and left all over the place, right? So where the other thing is, so we can't switch over and go, oh, you know, therefore this is the case. Now, that being said, if ever anybody's listening and saying, yeah, that's obvious, could you imagine if this was, could you imagine the modern struggle where if there was some weird offshoot of kind of militant traditional Catholicism that came out of the IRA, but kind of weaponized and turned into a meme, like, is, and so there were homegrown radicals being coming up everywhere, and these, you know, this new version of the IRA was blowing things up and blowing up Protestant churches in different parts of America and everything. Could you imagine the kind of backlash that would come on to mainstream Catholicism? So we have to kind of look at this and take it outside of context and see what that would look like. So, but still, that is a mistake. That is absolutely wrong. Islam per se and all Muslims are not evil. Stop saying it. All right, so let's go to the break. We'll hit some more as we get back. You're listening to The Counterposition.
Then all the colored glass, that painter's palette smash, all the colors of my soul.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
I'm a hyena laughing fool, I'm a hero without anyone to see. Love bedecked myself in toys, I'm a poor and kingly boy. Oh, I'm lovely, and I'm dull.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, we are talking about this Orlando shooting. I didn't want to talk about this, but how can I not? So we've talked about how this is the perfect storm, man. It's got gays and Muslims and ISIS and guns and, you know, all this stuff. And it was the perfect storm for everyone to just back into their ideological corner and see it only from their view. And that has led to some false dichotomies and false conclusions. The first one being that this was not ideological because it was... Because we got it, we cannot, it would be bigoted to say that it was ideological because that sounds like hatred against people who are brown and have weird names. It sounds crazy. I've seen that all over the internet and different people. Second was that gays were the victim. Bad guys did it. Therefore, gays are good guys and there's nothing wrong with being gay. There's homosexuality is fine. There's no problem. And it's probably my fault. I forgot to add that. It's my fault. It's the Christian right's fault. It's everybody who disagrees with homosexuality. It is our fault because we helped radicalize this guy. And he wasn't radicalized for a system that then said he had to do this to gays. He was radicalized against gays. And by coincidence, he happened to be a radical Muslim, which is just insane. That's craziness. Another thing is that the flip side against all of my friends on the right wing that are diving on this is that a Muslim did this. Therefore, Islam is evil per se, and all forms of Islam are evil. There is no peaceful version of Islam, and all Muslims are evil, bad people. That's it. That's equally idiotic. So trying to say that the activity that victims were targeted by is a healthy, good, amazing thing that should be celebrated and defended all day long is just as idiotic as saying that just because this person did this, that all versions of the religion that this person was part of are evil. Okay. The last thing I want to talk about is another version of that. He used a gun. Therefore, guns are bad and guns are evil. and guns cause gun violence. And this was a big shooting, and he wouldn't have done anything. He wouldn't have done this had he not been able to acquire guns. He wouldn't have hurt anybody. And that's when I ask you, have you ever heard of a car bomb? I mean, have you seen those improvised explosive devices? It's nuts. The idea that, and it's funny, there's a group of, gay people in Florida that are conservatives, and they came out bashing the people on the left who were using their cause of homosexuality to try to advance their anti-gun agenda. So it's like, man, this is just an alphabet soup of ideological attachment. If it wasn't so bad, it would be good, because it's such a good indicator of how everyone thinks. But I'd rather not have that indicator. I'd rather those 50 souls be alive and well and walking around. But no, guns didn't do this. The average person who buys a gun it's like 99.99% of guns that are purchased legally are never shot at anything other than a target or a deer, target or something that you're hunting, right? That is the normal use of guns. And if you want to kill a bunch of people, you'll find a way to kill a bunch of people. Now, that being said, I'm not one of those people that's completely against the idea of some background checks and stuff. And this is where I'm going to go on kind of my final rant about this. This dude had been investigated. His family is an ideologically radicalized Afghan Muslims. Right? His father has like a YouTube channel or something of radicalization. He got investigated because he knew someone from America. He went to the same mosque and knew casually a guy who went over and fought with ISIS and got himself blown up and killed a bunch of people with a car bomb. I mean, at that point in time, this same dude was being licensed to be a security guard, to carry a firearm, and was contracted out to guard a court in a civic public building. Now, man, I don't know how far I want to take it, but that's just not a good idea. Okay. If the dude is that, first of all, why did they stop investigating him? If you have that many ties and you have a coworker who has said that you've talked about killing people. I was talking to somebody over the coffee bar this morning, and it reminds me of, remember whenever, they did that, this SNL back in the day, you'd have to go way back. I think it's probably to the mid 80s. Back when they did maybe it was the late 70s. I think it was the early to mid 80s. They did a thing where, you know, every time someone goes and kills someone, they always go interview all these people, and the next door neighbor goes, "Oh, he was such a nice boy. He helped me take out my trash. You know, I can't believe it. No one saw it coming." So, and someone tried to kill the president, and they did all these they went back and did all these background interviews on as a Saturday Night Live sketch. One of their pre-digital kind of film shorts. And you're like, "Oh, I was his piano teacher. I was his third grade teacher. He was such a sweet boy. He was so kind and so good. He really worked hard." I was always a little creeped out about his obsession with killing the president. I was a scoutmaster. Man, that guy could build a fire like nobody else. I tell you what, that was a good kid right there. It was kind of strange how he was obsessed with killing the president. I mean, it's like, it's almost like that. It's like this guy is going, he's telling his coworkers all this hateful stuff, how he wants to kill these people, how someone needs to kill these people. I mean, he's on the internet spouting all kinds of hate, talking about wanting to kill people. The FBI investigated him because he was connected to a dude that killed a bunch of people. And one of his coworkers said he always talks about killing people. just a security guard with a gun. I don't know, watch the dude. I don't know, put it, do something. Maybe help him find a new line of work, get him some counseling, something. You don't just let him be, you know, armed and guarding a court. It's just a bad idea in every way. So there you go. Look, I'm just going to sum it up with what he did was evil. And nobody's perfect, so the people he killed weren't perfect. And just the same way that if some guy killed me or because I was fat and he hated obese people, it doesn't mean gluttony is okay. If he'd have killed somebody because they cheated on their taxes and they didn't deserve to be killed for that, it doesn't make tax evasion a good thing that needs to be promoted. So, but these people were people full of dignity, persons with dignity, created in the image of God. And this evil man took away their chance to evolve and change and learn and grow and become more and more over the course of their lives, hopefully more and more what God was calling them to be in this world. There's no, he decided he was going to stop that story where it was. And it's not his job or his responsibility or even his right in any way to stop that story. No more than it is yours, no more than it is mine. The last little thing I want to talk about is I'd like to point out two things. A, how many people in the last few years since all this ISIS violence, how many Christians have walked in and blown up a nightclub? Yeah. Yeah. I didn't find any either. So it seems like maybe all religions aren't equal because, and I'm not saying that this is all Islam is like this, but people who want to say, yeah, that's violent, but so is it? No, there's no comparison, right? The very first world leader to condemn this quickly was Pope Francis, right? We can't do that. You know, we've always condemned back whenever you had, you know, people from Operation Rescue, I think it was Operation Rescue, or some radical offshoot of Operation Rescue, was like bombing abortion clinics. It was wholesale condemned by the pro-life movement. Second thing is, all of you people who think that this is just a different time and now they're violent, but the Christians used to be equally horrible and violent. No, just for the record, the Crusades, go read Rodney Stark's new book, the Crusades, especially the First and Second Crusade. This stuff went on for 400 years. This caliphate thing, this ISIS thing, the last time they did this, it went on for 400 years. And the response to it after 400 years of being victimized and suffering all over the Middle East and in Europe, after 400 years, the first defensive act in that war was called the Crusades. Okay, so there's just two things to put on the table about that. So, man, this got ranty. I didn't mean for this to be ranty. I wasn't feeling ranty when I started talking about this, but this got really ranty. Anyway, some idiot walked in, a human person, who's a moron, walked into a club full of other people who were broken human persons just like the rest of us and killed them, and that's wrong and bad. And God have mercy on them. God have mercy on him that did it. And God have mercy on us all. All right, let's pull the plug, pop the cork on another episode of The Counterposition. See you next time.
I take your place, marble stone. I take your place, marble stone.